Well, I'm sure most of you will remember back in 2010, the Chilean miners who were trapped underground when the mine collapsed. There were 33 men. They were trapped 700 meters below the surface. They were trapped 5 kilometers from the actual entrance to the mine. And they were trapped down there for 69 days. Now, apparently the first 17 days were awful and distressing as time stretched on and nothing happened. They were quickly running out of water and food. It was chaotic and it was horrible. It was miserable. But everything changed on day 17. Everything changed when a small drill from the surface broke through into the chamber where all these guys were gathered. See, what changed at that point? Everything changed, because from that point on, they had hope. Even though it took them another 52 days before they could get all of those guys out, and even though they had these tiny little amounts of food and water that they had to share between themselves, the way they treated each other, the way they acted, the way they were changed that day because they had hope, because they had been found. So that's the difference that hope makes. Even in the darkest places, even faced with insurmountable odds. And it's our topic today. We're thinking about what difference does it make now to know that there is life after death. And I want to say it makes all the difference, because it gives us real hope and it gives us certainty to be able to face anything, because we know what's coming. And this is what Jesus talks about in our passage. He's talking to his disciples, and it's in fact the night before Jesus dies. This is the night before he goes to the cross the next day, and he knows what's coming. But he says to his disciples, he gives them these amazing words of comfort. He starts off by saying, "Your heart must not be troubled." He said, don't be troubled about the future. Don't let your hearts be anxious or worried. And I really want us today to feel and hear the impact of those words from our powerful Lord Jesus, because he knows exactly the fear and uncertainty that his disciples are facing. He knows they're anxious about what will happen to him and to them. He knows it's about to get worse, because in a few hours, they're going to watch him get arrested and dragged before a court, and then the next day, he will be killed brutally, publicly. But Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. How can he say this? How can he say it's fine? Everything's going to be okay. See, sometimes for us, facing the future is a little bit like driving a car in really thick fog or in heavy driving rain. Have you had that experience where it's raining just so hard that no matter how quickly your windscreen wipers are doing their thing, you just don't see anything? It's just water. Where's the road? Where are the other cars? It's like sometimes facing the future is like that, isn't it? Let alone facing death, the ultimate uncertainty. But Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't fear. He says, trust in God. Trust in me. Believe in God. Believe in me. Jesus says, you can face the future. You can face fear. You can even face death with confidence and with certainty and with hope when you believe in God, when you put your trust in Jesus and in what he has done for us. Don't be troubled, but trust me, he says. Trust me, because God himself is the antidote to all our fear and all our uncertainty. Do you know, my dad used to play first grade rugby league for the mighty North Sydney Bears back when they existed. In fact, the NRL a few years ago brought out a DVD of the top 100 tries scored in the 100-year history of rugby league in Australia, and my dad scores number 62. It's very impressive. There he is. It's great. Ken Irvine, this classic legend of rugby league, makes a break from his own try line. He runs 98 metres up the field. It's an amazing run. Gets tackled, passes it to my dad, who scores. It's amazing. It's really good. But it's my dad. It's his name on the bottom of it. It's fun to watch that. It's really cool. But I remember my dad telling us about the very first first grade game of rugby league he played. Playing fullback, he's kind of young and fresh and raw and all kind of stuff. And he first hit up, he runs it up and he gets hammered. He gets kind of coat hangered by this guy, high tackle, hits him across the head. And my dad's like, you know, woozy and dazed and stumbles up. And he said one of his teammates, this kind of grizzled old forward, completely bald, comes up to him and says, "Don't worry about it, Keefe." And then so the game keeps going on. Not long later, though, Dad says, the guy who'd hit him runs the ball up. This old forward and a few other teammates tackle this guy in this kind of heavy tackle. And then on the ground, Dad says, "I didn't see what happened, but my teammate stood up and the other guy unconscious on the ground." Completely knocked out. And my dad was like, "Well, I'm glad they're on my side." Now, the point of this is, other than it's time to bring back the biff, the point is that when Jesus says, it's going to be okay. When Jesus says, "Don't worry, I've got this." Jesus says, "I'm going to take care of it. Leave it to me. Trust me." They're real words of comfort, aren't they? They're real words of peace and confidence when they're coming from someone who is able to do something about our situation. Even when our enemy is death itself, Jesus says, "Don't worry, I've got this." Because it's not just wishful thinking. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 2. "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Why? "Because in my Father's house are many dwelling places." In my Father's house are many rooms. Jesus is saying, you don't need to worry, you don't need to fear. Why? Because there is a place for you in heaven. There is a place. Now, God, all the way through the Bible, God has been in the business of giving people a place, providing somewhere for his people to be together and to be at home. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God makes the world and he creates the Garden of Eden as the place for Adam and Eve to live. Later in the Bible, we see he gives Israel the promised land as the place for them to be a nation. The land, we're told, that's flowing with milk and honey. Not long later, he gives them the city of Jerusalem as the place for them to be in relationship with God. God is always at work giving his people a place. Here, Jesus is saying, there is a place for you. And that place is with God in his house in heaven. So when you believe in Jesus, when you put your trust in Jesus, you get to call God your Father and you get to be part of his family. And we live with him in his place. "So trust me," says Jesus, "no matter what happens, trust me for a better home. Trust me for a better future. Trust me for a place with God. In my Father's house are many rooms. There is a place for you." But you see, more than just saying, "Hey, look, there's lots of vacancies. If you happen to make it there, there'll be somewhere for you." What Jesus is saying is more personal than that, isn't it? Because he, at the end of verse 2, he says, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you." The Lord Jesus personally prepares a place for us to be with God, to live with God, and to belong in heaven, accepted and forgiven and washed clean. That we get to have peace with God, a glorious future with God, because Jesus has done everything needed for that to happen. That's why Jesus came into the world, so that we could have that place. And in fact, that's why Jesus goes and dies. He says, "I am going away, and it will be painful. I will die. But by dying, I am getting a place ready for you in heaven." That's why Jesus needs to die on the cross, because he basically switches places with us. He ends up in the place where we belong, the place of anger and judgment. He ends up in the place of death, facing our punishment, so that we can end up in the place where he belongs, in God's love, in heaven forever. That's why he dies, so that we can have his place in eternal life. He prepares a place for us. And that's why he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." No need to fear. No need to be anxious. Trust me. And so what Jesus is doing is he's cutting through the uncertainty of the future. He's just pushing aside the fog of unknowing and he gives us a crystal clear glimpse of what lies ahead, of what he guarantees, of the hope that we have. Because he says, I will come back for you. I will come and get you. Verse 3 says, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. That's Jesus' promise. You will be with me. And in fact, those are the very words he utters on the cross to the criminal who's nailed on a cross next to him, a criminal who puts his trust in Jesus. Even as he's dying, Jesus says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Knowing that changes everything. Do you know, a few years ago, there was a TV series called Flash Forward. It didn't last very long. It was only one season. But in it, the whole world blacks out for 2 minutes. Every person blacks out, goes unconscious for 2 minutes, and so there's all sorts of crashes and stuff happening. But during those 2 minutes, people see a vision of the future. They're all shown where they will be in 6 months' time. Now, one of the characters we meet, his life is just a complete mess. It's a disaster. He has nothing to live for. But in his flash forward, he sees in 6 months' time, he'll see his daughter again. He's reconciled to his family again. It's actually a really beautiful thing that he sees. The future hope that he has then changes the way he lives, looking forward to it. He's able to face anything, any challenge, anything thrown his way. He's like, no, this is fine. I'm confident because I know what's coming. He even has to have this surgery, which the doctors are like, we actually think there's no chance you'll survive it. We shouldn't do this. He's like, no, it's fine. I can do this because I know what's coming. He has certainty. He has hope. Now, that's in a TV show that obviously wasn't very good because it only lasted one season. But Jesus promises us real certainty for our future. It's the certainty of life, the certainty of a home, of belonging with him in heaven. And his death and resurrection make that certain, absolutely guaranteed. But knowing that future, seeing that reality, changes life now. And so what I really love about these verses is Jesus doesn't say, look, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, that you have to find your way there. He doesn't say it's up to you to get yourself there. Look, I'll be waiting for you. I've got a place ready for you, but you go for it. Work hard, be nice, see you there. He doesn't say, look, I've shown you how to get into God's kingdom. Now it's up to you to do it. He says, I'm going and I'm dying to get a place ready for you, and I'm going to come back and get you. I will come back and I will take you to be with myself, so that you may be where I am. That's our hope. That Jesus has done everything so that I can go to heaven. And Jesus has come back to take me to be there. He does everything we require. In his death, in our place, in his resurrection, he comes back. From the dead, he comes back for us to take us to be with him. There is a place for us in heaven. Jesus has personally prepared that place for us through his sacrificial love. And Jesus will powerfully take us to be there with him. And I know that all of us fear loneliness. We fear not having a place to belong, not having a place where we are part of things and we're connected. Jesus promises us the presence of God. He came to live with us and among us. He came to die as one of us and for us. He came so that we could live with him in the glorious presence of the Father forever. Which is why Jesus is able to say more than just, look, I show you the way to God. He says more than just, I tell you the way to God. Or even, I can describe in quite vivid detail the way to get to heaven. When Thomas says to him in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And we don't know the way. Jesus' answer is awesome. And it's powerful. And it's they're words that help us to face an uncertain future. We don't exactly know what's coming in the future. But listen to what Jesus says. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. to be with God and enter his kingdom. The reason Jesus is the way to be with God is because Jesus is the truth about God. Jesus has come to reveal God and make him known. Whoever has seen me, he says, has seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. You know God. I am the way. I am the truth. And because I'm the way to God and the truth about God, then I am the life that God offers. See, this is really important. Jesus isn't the means to an end. He isn't the friend in high places that we have who can get us where we want to be. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Real life is found in Jesus, in being with him, in being where he is. Christianity isn't about rules or regulations or ceremonies or traditions. Christianity is about having a relationship with Jesus. Because no one comes to the Father but by me, says Jesus. I am the only one who has the authority to give you a place in heaven. So don't let your hearts be troubled, because I say you're in. And Jesus is making a massive claim, isn't he? He's saying he is everything we need to enter eternal life. And he's saying he is the only thing we need to have eternal life. He is the only way to get to God. He and he alone can prepare a place for us in heaven. He and he alone will come back and take us to be with himself. Massive claim. And that's why he says, trust me. So what difference does it make now? Well, just like those miners who were trapped underground, it makes all the difference. Even while we wait, because we now have hope. Jesus has broken through the barrier of death. Jesus has broken into our dark world and he's shed light so that we can see the truth. He's brought life. And we might still live in a world that's dark in many ways, that's full of fear and full of uncertainty and full of sin. We might face a future that can be overwhelming at times, can't it? In its inability to be known. What is going to happen? But we have a hope that is even more certain, because Jesus has prepared a place for us and he has come back from death to come and get us. So we no longer are left to live in the darkness of fear. No longer are we left to live in the darkness of ignorance, in the darkness of sin and selfishness. Now we can live with confidence. We live with love and joy, and with hope. And just as a runner, as they're about to get to the finish line, no matter how exhausted they are, no matter how spent they feel, as soon as they see the finish line, there is a burst of energy. They are spurred on because they can see the end. They know what's coming. In the same way, Jesus assures us that the finish line is there. And that should energize us to run this race with endurance. Because when you know Jesus, then you know the way to live now, the way to live forever. When you know Jesus, you know the truth about this world, the truth about ourselves, the truth about God. When you know Jesus, then you know real life. You know what eternal life is about. It makes an enormous difference to know that God has a place for us, that he has prepared it for us personally by dying for us, and that Jesus has risen so that we can be with him forever. Inside your new sheet, you'll find a prayer. So if everyone could take out their new sheet, in the top right-hand corner, there's a prayer, which is really a way of accepting Jesus' invitation in this passage to not let your heart be troubled about fear and death and the future, but to believe in God and believe in Jesus. This prayer is really a way of saying, yes, God, I believe in you. I trust you. I depend on you. I rely on you. It's a way of speaking to God and saying, thank you for what you've done. I put my trust in you. I'm going to lead us in this prayer, which is a way to commit yourself to God and to accept Jesus into your life. So let me lead us in this prayer.